You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and I'm here with Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Jay, let me tell you something. Today, just an observation, I could be totally wrong, but not a bad day in the world of sports in terms of disasters.
Well, there have been no disasters today. There's always some stuff going on, little rumblings all over the place and stuff like that, but, you know, nothing that says this is really bad.
That's a good day when we can say this.
You know, I'll take that.
The one thing that you made a good observation, and we've talked about this a number of times, is what's going to happen if you don't trust the next guy reporting what's going on?
Well, that's it, you know, and there's some stuff going on, and hey, look, I'm sure it's going on in other places, but there was a report out of Colorado State today in the Fort Collins newspaper that the coaches are discouraging players from reporting symptoms. They might be not reporting correct tracing and other things like that, just being dishonest about the whole COVID thing.
Isn't this the perfect example of why the Pac-12 players sent this letter because they want more transparency of what's really going on?
They do, and that's just it. And so you had a series of players who just went to the media there and just said, these things are going on in our program. Now, let's be completely fair about this, and again, this always hits social media, right? Mm-hmm. So the Fort Collins story, newspaper story ran, it hit social media, immediately national media and everybody jumped on it and started commenting, oh, this is awful, we knew this was going to happen, yada, yada, yada. But then some other players from Colorado State came out and said, "This none of this is true." So it's like, who do you believe? And that's going to be one of the big issues all year long. You know, you got guys saying this is going on. Then you got guys saying, no, it's not. They even had a little of that here at Arizona. You had, you know, somebody thrown out there that the coaching staff kicked a guy off the team because he didn't want to, wanted out. When in reality, there was a problem with the player and he got kicked off the team for other reasons. So
right.
It's like, where do you go with this stuff?
Yeah, no, it's a slippery slope.
And how do you validate any of it?
Right. In your background of what you know, what you've done for a while in your career, what do you believe? I know where I'm going to go with this.
Well, I guess what I'm going to say is, if this stuff was not going on, then why would they go to the newspaper and say
right,
it was?
Right.
There's absolutely no reason for them to do
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
Now, it may be that these other players who came out and said it's not true, one, maybe by trying to protect their program, or two, aren't aware that it's going on.
Correct.
You got 100 guys on your team, maybe 80, if you're Colorado State.
Right.
Maybe it is going on and they just don't know it because they're just saying this isn't happening.
Right.
So,
but you don't know what you don't know.
Right. I mean, why would these guys go to the media and say this is happening? There's no reason for them to do that.
When you go to do your stories, and when you did your stories for The Star and I did it for The Citizen, you just didn't go to one guy and say, okay, you got his quote or his information. You went to two or three.
Oh, you had to go to a bunch.
So this one has two or three or four kids saying this, correct?
The Fort Collins story has 10.
Oh, you going to tell me the 10 guys are wrong?
The 10, 8 players and 2 staff members
there's
went
no way,
to the media.
There's no way you're going to tell me 10 guys are wrong.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to lean towards, I think this is happening.
Correct.
To what degree is it happening? We don't know.
Go ahead, Tom.
I'm also suspicious of the guys who are coming out for the program, in favor of the program, saying this isn't happening because, to your point of why would you go if you didn't have anything going on, why are you coming out to defend the program if you're not either being told to come out and defend the program or you have some other ulterior motive?
Sure.
I can't understand why you would, especially when it comes to this, go out and defend the program.
My whole thing is, we talked about this last week with the attorneys, with Bert Kinnerk and Mr. McLeod. I said, what if you get guys not really being truthful?
Right.
And then all this whole thing is screwed.
It just blows up.
Yeah.
It just blows up. And that's, again, that gets back to we're so not very good as a society at accepting personal responsibility for stuff, right?
That goes back a long time.
I'm just saying some people, I mean, obviously some people are.
Sure.
But there's a lot of people aren't. You know, when things happen, we're always looking for somebody to blame.
Sure, sure. No question. And we live that right now.
Right.
But I think you, in off the air, you talked about this. Coaches have jobs, big time jobs, big time salaries, things at stake.
Right.
They need to fix or need to...
Livelihood, maybe, the stake and stuff like that. And right.
So this is a problem.
It's going to be a problem.
Sure.
And if you got one guy, you know, who's maybe got an issue and something's going on, again, you know, let's call out the, you know, the kid from Arizona who came out and said, these things are happening. And then when he got questioned by, I said, well, not really that, it's this.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, what do you believe? And you can't jump to conclusions. But again, when a newspaper has 10 sources on something, they're going to go with it.
10 people see a car crash and they're all wrong?
What? Right. They're going to go with it.
Sure,
and
of course.
So, you know, but again, that's not to say that down the road, you know, you might get three guys together who say, let's go do this because we hate our coach.
Right. Right.
Right.
That's a possibility.
That's a possibility.
That's
too.
A possibility. Yeah. I get that. But 10 guys in a room who saw something or know something, that's a bit far fetched.
But, you know, these guys, and there's a lot of these kids who are, I think there's a lot of these guys who are scared.
Oh,
you know,
heck yes.
They're scared. They want to play.
I know I would
but
be.
But they're scared.
I would be.
You know?
Yeah. No, this is a sport that, Paul, any of the sports that you can't really mess around
right.
with.
Right. And you got players at all levels, from, you know, the NBA to the NFL to Major League Baseball and the colleges, high schools, whatever, who are opting out and saying, I'm just not going to go. I'm just going to take the risk. It's not worth it to me.
No, I would be totally understanding of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
Hey, today we have a nice show. We have Joseph Blair coming on the show here in about 2 or 3 minutes. We'll find him, track him down. He's in Philadelphia. He's still with the Philadelphia 76ers. And we'll talk about UA Sports. We'll talk about today's current situation and what's going on with him in Philly. Come here right here on 1030 The Voice.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside my co-host Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone I have former U of A star Joseph Blair, now an assistant coach with the Philadelphia 76ers. Joseph, how the heck are you? And how did you avoid that bubble down in Florida?
First of all, good to hear your voice, Steve. It's been way too long. I hope you're doing well. I hope your family's doing well.
Thank you, JB.
You guys, miss everybody in Tucson. So let's be humanistic first and foremost. You know, I'm gonna call you out on everything, Steve. I love talking to you.
Yes, I know.
Also, I didn't. I looked on the Eye on the Ball Facebook page, and I didn't see a big thing promoting me being on the show tonight. So, you know, I'm gonna give you crap for that.
Oh yeah, we got you up there, Joe. I'm the one that. This is Jay. I'm the one that does. You're there. I linked you and everything, both on Facebook and Twitter.
And you just called me Joe. I heard you say it.
Sorry about that, dude. My bad.
Welcome. You're lucky I don't hang up right now. I'm staying tuned now for all the Tucsonans that I love.
I just didn't finish.
So
up there.
No worries. It's okay. I'll let you slide this time.
I'll bury it down until
the resentment builds.
You're going to give me a complex now, you know, but that's not normal.
But let's wait a minute, Joseph. You got to remember, I don't know if you know this. I was the stat guy for you. I'm the guy that got you all your stats, okay? I got you all your rebounds, got you all your stuff. So I'm the guy that put that down. So
Just and now not only did you call me Joe, you're also downgrading all the hard work for me to get those points and for me to get those rebounds.
See, now you know why Lou went through for 4 years. How's it going? Last time I really spoke to you outside of last summer when you were here visiting, you won a title as the head coach for your G League team. How has life changed for you?
You know, it's changed a lot, honestly. First and foremost, let me address your initial question that I kind of jumped over as I was scolding you two. You know, obviously when the bubble hit, everything has changed for our entire league. And one of the things with COVID hitting, everything changed for the entire league. And with the bubble in particular, after a three-plus month layoff, they shrunk the travel party significantly. And what the Sixers did, we prioritized the staff that was more in charge with the health and well-being of the players. After being off and not playing for so long, we wanted to make sure that we had more of that staff to deal with their needs physically so they could be more equipped to play. As you can imagine, sitting out for so long and then coming back, but not only coming back when these games are in rapid succession, the most important thing is that we can keep those guys healthy. So I'm working remotely. I'm in Philly now. It's very different, that's for sure. You know, I'm taking notes during our games and shooting text messages for our other coaches to read at halftime to get my information. And then I'm doing my video work, my advanced scouting work. And then we have a lot of Zoom calls. Almost every day we have a Zoom call pre-practice or pre-game. So it still keeps me busy, but it's an adjustment. But I think everyone's life is adjustment right now. As far as what you just asked me, have things changed? It's been a significant change. You know, you go from I was in the G League, number one. Just life in the G is much different than life in the league. The way you travel, the way you're taken care of, the way the players' well-being, everything is extremely different. And obviously, the stress of the situation. I spent 3 years assistant coach under the great head coach Matt Brazzi before I took over the reins down there at the Vipers. And also, I think the biggest adjustment for me, you know, as a head coach or anyone in the head business situation or business position, your job is to implement a culture inside your environment, inside your community of your job. And that was my job as the head coach. And now coming back to the assistant coach, my job is to promote the culture in which the head coach is trying to implement in our community. So just trying to go from one to the next is a very big adjustment, and also dealing with different players at different statures, different ego levels and different things. So it's a very different environment, that's for sure. But I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed to be a part of it. I love my job. I love what I do. I love being around everyone. I love learning every single day. So it's truly a blessing.
Hey, Joseph, as a coach, you know, what's the difference in the players? And, you know, you got in the G League, you got guys who are, you know, trying to make it, you know, they're hopeful and that kind of thing. Now you're in the NBA, you got guys who, in a sense, have made it. Of course, you know, guys are trying to improve themselves and stuff like that. But what are the major differences you see between the approaches of the players at the two levels?
Well, I'll be honest with you. A lot of things that are inhibiting some of these players in the G League taking the next step to the NBA is their lack of professionalism. They truly don't understand that this is a job. That transition from college, when everything is scheduled for you, you have to be here at this time, you have to do this at this time, you have to do this time, and then you get to a professional where no one's making you do anything. It's on you to develop yourself. It's on you to get better every single day. It's on you to do the things that are outside of what's required, and that's what really takes you to the next level. And I think that's where a lot of what the NBA players have done, those extras to get to the next level. They've done outside of what was asked of them, and they push themselves to be better constantly every single day. And I'm not saying all G League players don't do that, but I think it's an overlying theme with a lot of things I've seen there in the G League, is you have players that are have really been coddled, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. They have a sense of entitlement that is still quite pungent upon them. So it's hard for them to shake that and move on to the next level. But, you know, I've been blessed where I've seen players. I've worked with players. You know, I had 6 call-ups in my time as a head coach. I've seen numerous guys get called up while I was there. I've worked with some amazing players. You know, I'm one of my favorite players that I ever worked with while in the G League was Montrezl Harrell, just unbelievable workhorse. And it's guys like that that put in extra work, and it pays off in the end. And, you know, since I just dropped his name, you can see now that his work ethic is amazing.
You're in Philly. You're not with the guys. You must miss it. I'm just assuming that you might miss it because this is part of who you are. You get along with the guys. You know what they're thinking. You can work with them, things like that. Is it in fact, do you miss them, and how is it for you?
Of course I miss them. I miss, one of the biggest parts of what I enjoy about coaching is the things I miss the most out of playing, which was the camaraderie and the competition. And yes, I still have the competition because I still see I want the Sixers to beat whoever we're playing. But part of that competition is also looking down the court and saying, hey, this group, us group, this guys, us guys are against you guys, and we're trying to beat you tonight on this court. And then the camaraderie, which is just being around everyone. So not having those two major things, which I found so connected so greatly with as a coach, it's become difficult. But, you know, you find your ways. I communicate with the other coaches as much as I can. I try to shoot text messages as much as I can. And then just, you know, in myself, understanding that this is, it's God's plan for me to do what I'm doing right now. And I know that he has a plan for me, and greater things are in store. And that understanding of that alone keeps me sane.
And I would assume that all those suits you have in your closet are aging as we speak, and say you need to wear them. Please don't tell me you wear them while they're playing in Florida and you're in Philadelphia. He was the sharpest dressed guy.
No need to. You know the thing about it is, Steve, something you wouldn't understand. I stay in good shape, Steve. So those suits are still going to fit me when I decide to wear them again. And you know, I'm blessed that the style of myself doesn't wear out, so I can always rock those suits and make them look good.
I don't want to be a vegetarian. That's the only problem.
Just, I'm going to be honest with you. At the scorer's table, at the beginning of the game when the coaches go by, you know, you guys go by and shake hands and everybody greets each other and stuff like that. I will say we considered you as sharp a dresser as we ran across over there. You know, and there were some guys who were bad. Some guy, you know, Ernie Kent was as good a dresser as there was. We were always complimenting Ernie on his outfits. But we did notice that you were one of the sharp dressers there. You clearly took pride in it. And we noticed. We definitely noticed.
And I definitely appreciate you saying so. Thank you, sir.
I'm not trying to butter you up for calling you Joe either. that's serious.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hey, JB, you've been out of the game 26 years, at least from here, from U of A. You see all the stuff going on with college athletes, and now they're going to start to get paid with likeness and stuff like that. Football players want more. Do you kind of wish you were back in the day this happened to you guys?
Well, now you're getting into a different thing, and then you're talking about regret, and regrets are a whole different subject I'm not going to get into. I do think that everything that happened the way it did needed to happen for them to have the platform they have now, and we couldn't have had that platform then. So, you know, I'm happy that it is being addressed now. I'm happy that they do have a platform to stand on to make certain requests. But I will say that I think that, you know, it's one of the things we needed to go through in my days in order for them to be where they are now. And I completely understand that, and I respect that. I'm glad that I could be a part of that process, and I respect that.
So back to talking about the difference between, you know, the guys that you used to work with in the G League and guys you see now. Now you're working with, you know, big personalities, big, guys who are, just, icons of basketball right now, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, stuff like that. What's it like to work with those guys? And what are their personalities like? Are they more down to earth than we think they are? Or, do some of these guys get caught up in who they are? I mean, how do guys like that stay grounded when, they're so, so popular and looked up to by so many people?
Well, I think that the first thing you'd understand is everyone's human. We're all different individuals. I'm more outgoing than some of the other coaches and then some of the teammates and then just some of the people I know in general that I, you know, I'm the type of person, if I'm in the elevator with you, I'm going to say something to you. I'm not going to be quiet. There's people that are sitting in the elevator will never say another word. Well, you have to understand that these players are the same way. There's some that are going to talk to you and some are going to be quiet. And the problem is that they're judged by their humanness too much. Mm-hmm. So when I work with these players, some of them, you know, some talk a lot, some don't talk a lot. You know, I've worked also with James Harden. I worked, you know, with many of the other Rocket players. And, you know, you're talking about MVP caliber players. And I will say that they're all individuals. And not only that, but you have to understand, number one, when you start talking about these bigger name individuals, the pressure in which they live under, they're always going to be a little bit more protective, which is normal. I think any of us, if we're in a position where a lot of people want access to you, you're going to be more defensive. And I think that the general public has to do a better job of understanding that, respecting that. But they're not the only person that's asked them for this or that or whatever it might be. And but I will say that with all that being said, that they do a very good job of being themselves, more so than when people understand. And I respect that. I enjoy being around them. You know, I like to joke with them. I like to laugh with them. I like to see them interact with each other as well. And it is definitely a blessing, and it's a joy to be around these younger guys, and especially those that are trying to get better and trying to learn. And I will say, guys like Ben Simmons, that's the kind of guy he is. He wants to get better. He wants to learn. Tobias Harris, he's an unbelievable teammate, team member. And then even James Harden, for example, just going back to my Houston days, and I can't help but to speak on that because I was with the Rockets for 4 years as well. You know, he's a guy that he leads by example with his work ethic. He works hard, and you know he'll call someone out on if they're not working as hard as they should. Those type of things. So it's, you know, you really respect their leadership, and you learn from just observing what they do and how they do it and the things they say.
Can you talk about the road you get to this point? Like I said, you've been out to 25 years. You played in Europe a lot, overseas a lot, and you came back, done a lot of things for the local community. When you finally got that call by Philly, how did you feel, and how was that road?
Man, God had a plan, Steve. That's all I can tell you, because even from my road to get to where I am right now, it's truly unconventional. I think every coach has their own different path to get to where they are. Some come from long lines of coaching. Some people played for years, jumped straight into coaching. Some people couldn't play, so they coached. Some people loved the game so much they coached. You know, mine was a little bit different. Obviously, I did play for years overseas, and then I came back. I retired to Tucson and just really submerged myself more in the nonprofit sector, and I'm just growing your community. I wanted to see Tucson become the best Tucson it could be, and I tried to do what I could to be a part of that. I served on a lot of different boards around town. I tried to volunteer as much as I can for different things. I went and spoke at a lot of different schools, just tried to really become as big a part of the community as I could. And interesting thing that happened with that is that's exactly what made me become a good coach when the time came. You know, one of my road to coaching, for those that don't know, is that, you know, I actually went to coach at the U of A just so I could finish my degree. And in the process of doing so, I fell in love with coaching.
Yeah.
And I took that, and a door opened up, got presented an opportunity for me to get the Rockets, and then I went on from that to win a championship in the G League.
We got to go. JB, thanks a bunch. Take care.
Appreciate it, Joseph.
Hi, I'm Ron Hess from the Window Depot. You know about our great prices and our biggest inventory on windows and doors. Well, now the Window Depot is the place for all your kitchen cabinets. And that's not all. Now you can get granite countertops at the Window Depot. That's right, we now stock a large variety of prefab granite countertops starting at $116 for a 9-foot section. That's less than Formica. So come into the Window Depot today, because now we have granite.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. Always good to talk to Joseph Blair. He's always fun to jibber jabber and kind of go back and forth with.
That was fun. It was fun to, you know, let him give us a little bit of stuff at the beginning. And that's a true story, is that, you know, we sit there at the scores table and we critique the suits as they go by.
Yeah, he's got those big three-piece suits. You know,
Joseph was a sharp dresser. There's a few others. And then there were some guys that would come around like I don't know. There's some guys that you go, man, who picked that out? You obviously don't have a wife at home who helps you dress.
No, but Ernie Kent, you're right.
You know, but Ernie Kent, man, sharp dresser.
I'm trying to think myself. I don't.
You know, I'll tell you, Luke was sharp dresser.
Yeah, yeah. Luke is he was a good-looking dude who just kind of makes the suit.
Yeah, you know, but we like to look at the assistant coaches because we know the head coaches make all the money.
Right.
They're going to spend a lot of money on their suits. It's when you see the grad assistant who's got a navy jacket with a different color, a different shade of navy pants, and you're saying, that guy's struggling, you know.
Right. But Lorenzo dressed pretty well, didn't he? Because he made some cash.
Yeah, Lorenzo Romar, good dresser. Let's see, who else? Who am I thinking of here?
In the Pac-12?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Pac-12 coaches. Mike Montgomery always looked sharp.
Right.
And, and then you had a couple other guys, and maybe I should mention some. I won't mention them.
Henry Bibby used to dress nice, too, back in the day.
Henry Bibby, good dresser. And then some guys were just kind of basic. You know, John was kind of a basic guy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He always had the black suit or the navy suit or whatever. And, you know, Sean Miller's an okay dresser. He's got a couple of jackets that we make fun of that he wears once.
Through that baby, they change color,
right? And then, but you know, we do take a look, and then you know, you got guys now who are showing up. You know, they're wearing golf shirts and stuff like
that.
Now.
That's so how I would do it.
It's become a whole different deal, but it's a lot of fun. You know what? We got to entertain ourselves before the game starts, right?
Yeah, you can't.
You know, we've been sitting in the arena for an hour getting ready for the game, and you know, by game time, we've already been there a while. We're ready to move on. So
right. Well, JB had the sharp dressing. That very white.
Right.
How you doing?
Right.
How you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, very dapper guy.
Yeah, yeah. Good to talk to him. Success. You'll have 2-3 years ago, I was with, we're doing the Lou Olsen camp, and Brazzi was with me, and we were talking. He says, you know what? JB's got what it takes. And I'm thinking, really? JB? He says, yeah, he's personable. He knows the game, and he knows the people. He knows how to deal with the people. And you know, as a good coach, you know how to deal with the people.
Right. You know, and see, and when, you know, from the vantage point that we have of players, I saw him as just kind of a quiet guy out there. I don't know if I ever saw him say a lot. You know, he just played. Whereas, you know, somebody like a Damon Stoudemire, you know, he was always talking, but because he had to. You know, he was the point guard and stuff like that. TJ McConnell
Are you talking about his playing days?
Yeah, his playing days at Arizona. He just seemed like he was, you know, he was business. He went in, did the work. You didn't hear a lot from him.
He was probably one of the more underrated players in the last 25 years. Let me say why. Because when he got it low, he rarely missed. I think he's among the top two percentage-wise guys in the 60s.
Well, and I was going back and looking at his stats. And the media guy looking at his stats, and I didn't realize how proficient he was offensively.
Right.
Because he was kind of a quiet guy to the point where he didn't stand out to me.
There's a reason for that, too. You know why? Khalid Reeves.
Well, he had Khalid Reeves and Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah.
Those two guys, you know, when you watch those teams that he was on, those are the guys you had your eye on because those are the guys who had the ball and they were doing all the things.
Reggie, you know, three guys, Reggie with the defense, JB, Rayos, and Joe McClain, those guys. And it went to the Final Four.
Right,
I'm sure you were happy back then.
That got to a Final Four, and that was, you know, that was fun because those are also the guys that lost to Santa Clara.
Right. Chris Mills in that mix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But JB was one of those guys that he just didn't stand out. But
no.
He obviously was doing his job because they went to a Final Four and they were good.
And he had some good numbers. He did have some. Once he got the ball down low, it was pretty much, 63%?
Right.
Scoring-wise.
Right.
Good to talk to JB.
It was good.
Let's kind of transition into maybe the mess that's going on in baseball. It's not pretty.
Well, you know, you got the Cardinals now who are shut down for a week. And there's been some reports, and they track that to some of the guys going out to a casino know, I don't know what city or whatever, and came back. And
there's one in Seattle. There's one in St. Louis.
Okay, East
Louis,
and yeah. And, they, and unfortunately, one of those guys was my catcher on my fantasy baseball team, which I'm really upset about.
You know what I call that?
I cut him immediately.
You know what I call that? The kiss of Gonzalez, kiss of death.
I am the kiss of death. I cut him immediately. Yadier Molina, you know, he was doing a good job, but he's not going to play for a couple of weeks. He said, get out of here. Get off my team.
Do you have any more St. Louis guys?
I do. I have Paul Goldschmidt on my team. I had to bench him because, you know, they're just not playing. I have a pitcher.
So the reason why I don't play that silly game, because you don't know, you can't trust anybody.
I'll tell you what, managing a fantasy baseball team has entered a whole new realm, because now you're having to look at games and look at your lineup every day to see if teams are playing.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden I looked at my lineup today and I realized I had three guys who weren't playing because their team's not playing. And then I started looking into it and found out that, I knew the Cardinals, you know, were not playing because of the COVID, but, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys that sets my team at the beginning of the week and lets it go.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I took a look at it and I realized, wait a minute, I got a bunch of guys who aren't playing. I got to make some moves here. And so, you know, you have to pay a little more attention to it. And it's, but if you can imagine the angst I have just doing fantasy baseball, what if you're the manager of the team?
Well, right? You're getting paid a few million to
right?
worry
what
about
if you're
it?
The manager of the team and you got and your team now, you're sitting there, now you got to come out of this and you got to try and, you know, play for a pennant.
Yesterday we had Michael Lev on. He gave the season of college football starting or whatever at 20%. I like that number. Did we ask you?
You didn't ask me, but I'm in the 50-50 range.
Well, because you're the optimist of
right,
this group.
Right.
What about baseball? Finishing this season?
I think they're going to finish the season because, you know, the guys are getting COVID and they're rescheduling and stuff like that. I think they caught everybody's attention finally and says, you guys can't go out and do this stuff. So I'm just believing and hopeful that guys will pay attention to this. Apparently when, you know, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, threw out a threat that last Friday, we're going to shut it down on Monday if you guys don't pick it up.
Right.
Whether or not that was real, the word was that players within the league were texting each other and saying, guys, because if you're the LA Dodgers and you want to win a World Series because you've won your league 40 times in a row, you haven't won a World Series since 1988, and you want to win one, and if it's going to get shut down because the Florida Marlins are out there screwing around somewhere, you know, you're going to be, you know, right. you're going to try and do what you can to encourage these guys to clean up their act. Right. So I believe the pressure amongst themselves, the peer pressure, will play a role in this, and I do believe the season will finish.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. It's going to sputter till the end.
It's going to sputter, and you're going to keep having situations where, because you can get it out of nowhere. I mean, one person has contact with somebody. Maybe they weren't doing something extraordinarily bad, like going to a casino or whatever.
Right.
But they might run into someone that does have it or has symptoms that they didn't know or whatever, you know. So it's still going to happen. But what you have to do is you have to prevent these outbreaks that come from guys not following the protocols. But I think that, you know, they've put enough flexibility into all of this that I think they're going to figure out a way to finish the season.
Right. As the NBA will, because they're doing very well.
Well, the NBA and the NHL are going to,
they'll finish up. And who's to think that the Phoenix Suns are break up the Phoenix Suns?
Seriously, they've won their third game today. Devin Booker hit a buzzer beater game winner today for them. They're 3-0 since they've opened this up. They've got a shot to get into the playoffs. And, you know,
the world is definitely ending in 2020.
Well, you know what? I love this because, you know, it's fun to watch. You know, you got some guys that are out there just, you know, giving it everything they've got. And, you know, I don't think, you know, if you're in the bubble over there, you're not going through the motions. Because if you don't want to give it everything you got, you opted out.
Sure.
You said, I'm not playing.
Sure. No, I watched a game yesterday or the day before with the Suns, and DeAndre had a good game, and Booker, of course. And I'm thinking, this is a different team. Although they did start the year off, to begin the year, very well.
Right. They were doing well. They were a, you know, borderline playoff team anyways had the season gone on. They had a chance. So it's
They beat the Clippers today. That's kind of noteworthy.
Yeah, so it's good to see that they're, you know, that they've given themselves a shot, and it, you know, it's fun to watch.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Never been a big Suns fan. I've seen a lot of Suns basketball, but I pay attention enough to know what they're doing.
You haven't missed much, Jay. You're fine there. let's take a quick break here. Come back on the other side on 10:30 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. We have about 15 minutes. Anybody wants to call in, please do. Give us grief like JB did. That'd be fine. We got about 15 minutes. 790-2040. We welcome your calls. We appreciate your calls, in fact. What else is going on, Jay?
Well, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk much recruiting.
That's right.
U of A football recruiting yesterday when we had Michael Lev on. We just kind of threw it in there at the end. And again, recruiting is such a crapshoot. But, you know, the question I asked Michael was, you know, Kevin Sumlin and his staff were being criticized at one point because they were the last team in the league to not have any recruits.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's got like 20 or 21 and, you know, gone heavily into Louisiana and Texas and plucked some players. And he's got a, you know, the ranking, for whatever it's worth, has moved up there. I think they're now ranked fourth in the Pac-12 in recruiting. And so, there, you know, there's some hope. I think, you know, there have been a lot of people in this town as they've seen Kevin Sumlin's administration the first couple of years kind of felt like
laissez-faire?
Yeah, just kind of lacked a lot of zip and excitement,
yeah,
right?
Right.
When it came to recruiting, when it came to
I am one of those guys.
And again, we don't know, you know, these guys that he's recruiting, are they going to be really good players or not? But you just get a sense that there's a little bit more energy, you know, coming into the program. They're getting players, they're signing guys that seem, you know, guys that can have an impact,
right?
You know, I mean, when you're recruiting guys out of Louisiana and Texas, you know, I mean, that's where football is played,
it's
right?
It's a good sign.
So
for me, I totally get your optimism. I don't want to diminish that. To me, recruiting, I hate recruiting. It's one of the worst things you do when you're in the newspaper business, right?
Oh,
chasing these kids down and trying to, you know, whatever.
This is not a comment on him, but one of my worst times as a writer was having to chase Michael Bates all over town.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't.
Finding out where he was going to go.
Sure.
And I was so, I felt so.
Oily?
Oily, yeah. I felt dirty, but I also kind of felt like, what am I doing? I've got a professional career here, and I'm chasing this 18-year-old kid all around. I found Mario walking down the street, and I said, "Where's Michael?"
right. No,
I hated that.
I had to make the calls. You make the calls, and then you get a commitment, then they get a decommitment, and they get the flipping, and blah blah blah. It all matters when they get here and they perform.
Right, right.
You could have 5 stars, 12 stars, 3 stars. What does it matter until they show up?
And at that time, recruiting and the business of recruiting wasn't what it is now. You had Super Prep Magazine, and that was it.
Right.
You didn't have 30 different websites and rankings and ESPN and all that stuff.
Right.
But yet, you know, we had to be all over it.
Sure.
You know, and again, in my case, you know, Michael Bates was a Parade All-American.
That's
everybody
like
remembers Parade All-American.
It? Someone, yep. Was that 88?
Yep. And he played in the 89 season. So mm-hmm. It was, you know, in the end of the 88 season. And I would go over to Amphi High School, park on a side street and wait to see if I could see him walking home.
I was right there with you.
Because he lived across the street.
With him, talking to him and talking to the late, great coach. Tell me this right now. I just lost his name. Who passed away at Amphi. Amphi's a great coach.
Oh, Vern Freeland.
Vern Freeland. Yeah, so you have to kind of hang out.
Right,
talk to him a lot.
I'd go over there and, you know, I'd go to the weight room and Vern would be in the locker room, in the room. And I'm like, Vern, what's going on? I don't know.
And he talked like, I don't know.
But, you know, but getting back to the point is that you at least kind of feel like,
I get that.
There's a little bit of energy in the recruiting piece of it. You feel like...
Compared to what it was.
Compared to what it felt like before.
Right.
And I don't know if maybe, you know, Sumlin and his group kind of got recharged in this time or if they needed recharging. But I just feel like there's maybe a little more juice in the program right now. Whether that's going to relate to enough wins this season for them to, you know, for them to be around, I would like to think that, you know, if you're doing a good job of recruiting, you're getting guys, there's a lot of good things going on. Even if you go win only three games in a 10-game league schedule, you'll probably hang around. That's my thought.
Yes, we talked
again
about,
part of it's going to depend on what those look like.
Right.
You've got seven losses, what do those seven losses look like?
There's so many circumstances with that too. You got to win games obviously to keep people happy and keep your job. Hickey, it'll fall on Hickey without question.
Yeah,
three or less, then you wonder what the heck's going on.
Yeah, you just don't know. But again, part of it's going to depend on, you know, on what that looks like. And you know, somebody was talking about today and I don't remember where I heard it, but you know, these schools now, the conferences are going to play 10 conference games. That's going to be a grind because before you were playing 9 conference games, but you had 3 games that you got to kind of ease into it. There's no easing into anything.
No,
you know,
this is a fire.
If you're Arizona, you're opening with ASU, and maybe you don't open with them, but if you don't open with them, you're going to open at Washington.
No question.
And, you know, there have been a few times that Arizona's opened their season with a league game. I remember they opened with Stanford once. In fact, that 98 season, their season opener was against Stanford that year, you know, and they've opened with Oregon State and they've had, and I know the coaches hate conference games as their openers, but when you think about it, everybody's got that now. And by the time you get to game 10 of an all conference season, boy.
Well, I was listening to the show coming in and they talked about the schedule. Everyone talked about Arizona's daunting schedule, how tough it was. Everyone has the same.
Everybody's got the daunting schedule.
Exactly. You know, this is where you compare the apples to the apples.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, if you're Oregon, you know, all of a sudden you've got an extra game that you can lose if, you know, What are you going to have to go to be in the playoff?
Yeah.
Are you going to have to be 8-2? Is that going to be good enough? I think it is. I think Alabama will lose a couple of games. Alabama's got 2 extra conference games this year.
Maybe. Yeah. Is Oregon's going to win this league, the Pac-12?
I don't think we know.
USC,
I don't think we know because I just don't think we know how teams are going to handle the week-to-week grind that this conference season is going to be. I think this is one of the reasons I'm hoping that we actually have this season because I think it's going to be fun to watch how this thing, to watch USC win. All of a sudden they, you know, they've been on this grind and all of a sudden they run into, some team that had no business beating them, who just beats them up.
And you know that happens because it happens all the time.
That will happen.
Yeah.
And I think that'll happen across the
board.
Could
be Arizona.
All over the country. That's why I'm saying, you know, there'll be a game in there that Arizona shouldn't win that they do.
Right.
But, you know, who knows what's going to happen there. But, you know, the Big 12 today, verified that it's a 9-game conference season because they only have 10 teams in their league and they're going to play one non-conference game. But, you know, that's a grind for them too, you know? And so I like the way this is going to kind of even the playing field. It's going to be interesting, assuming there is a college football playoff, what that's going to look like in terms of who gets in.
Right. There was a report on ESPN, I know Tom just had it up, talking about the Pac-12 being kind of the blueprint for the future in college football. I think that, you know, you saw a guy at Virginia Tech who just said, I'm not playing the quarterback, I think it is.
Right.
He's jumping, and he said, I'm not going to play because I'm worried about my future. I think the Pac-12 is ahead of itself in a not so good way.
Well, I think, you know, I think guys are...
It's smart. It's realistic.
Let's just say that, you know, if you're in a Pac-12 school, you're a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You really are.
I don't disagree with that.
You know, you really are. I mean, academically, the Pac-12 schools, you know, I mean, when you've got a Stanford in your league, you got a Cal in your league, UCLA, mm-hmm. USC, you know, even Arizona. Yeah, Arizona State, kind of. Those are all great academic schools, and they're, you know, smart kids at all those schools, Washington, all of them. So, I was impressed by...
The documents?
The document. Mm-hmm. The demands that they came up with.
Minus one point.
A couple of things that they, you know, I thought they pushed it a little bit, but no doubt those guys kind of have their act together as far as what they're doing and how they're going about it. So I think that we're going to see more of that. I think the players in other leagues are looking to see what's going to happen in the Pac-12 to see how this works and what gets done.
Well, Commissioner Scott talked about it. He sent them a letter. We'll see. We have, 6 weeks before the first game, if we get to that point, see what happens in between this time to see what actually gets flushed out.
Right. And I'm going to be interested to see how, you know, how much of that, again, gets worked on before they even start camp. I mean, you know, the teams can start camp August the 17th. That is 13 days away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how much are they going to be okay with to say, okay, we're gonna still go to camp? Then there's the other question again: who are these guys?
Right.
You know, is it going to matter if the guys who are signing on to this,
right,
aren't in camp?
Well, we know three guys from Arizona,
right,
have done it, and you know, maybe one or Drew Dixon's a local kid,
right?
What do they mean? What does it mean if you're the guy that's going to jump ship anyway, or you're not a guy who's going to be playing a lot?
Right. And I don't want to diminish, you know, if you're on the Arizona football team, you're a good football player.
Right.
So let's just say that right away. But, you know, there's good, better, and great, and guys who are, you know, impact players. And so far, I think there's only been one impact player, a kid out of Oregon, that's been visibly part of this. So what kind of impact is it going to have on the teams if, say, you know, these guys do sit out?
Right.
But again, it's still a bad look if you do have a bunch of guys sitting out because there's a bunch of guys who don't believe that the Pac-12 is doing the right thing for the players.
I understand.
Much stuff to unpack here.
Sure,
Steve.
Sure. And wait, you said 13 days?
13 days.
I would venture to guess that when the 13 days are complete, that there'll be some from Arizona. There'll be some from a lot of different schools.
Right, right. And we'll find out, you know, but it's not like the media can go to practices, so you may not even know,
right,
you know, who's there and who's not.
Right.
Because, you know, so... We keep saying it over and over and over again. This is a weird time for us, and it's going to be interesting to see how all this flushes out.
Tom?
Guys, one of the key points, too, of that article was how important the unity is among the players if they're going to pull this off. It talked about Missouri in 2015 when 30 of the players walked out because of the way the president handled the racist complaints. And so the president resigned, and... Really, at the end of the day, we talk about this being, it is about dollars and cents. So if everybody walks and it impacts the bottom line and,
right,
and the wallets, that's where you're going to get the most attention to what you are demanding. But everybody's got to be on board, or 90%.
Well, and that's it. And that's what we don't know right now. You know, and maybe there's a lot of guys who are saying, I support it.
But
let me see what happens,
right.
You know, and then maybe when the day comes, they say, yeah, you know, and there's a large number of guys who say, okay, you know, we need to make an impact, and they're not doing enough. But a lot of it's going to depend on what the Pac-12 response is to this. And initially it wasn't good because, you know, Larry Scott said, I'll talk to you later this week. And they said, no, we want to talk now.
Right.
So we'll see, you know, what ends up happening.
Well, of those points, a lot of them were valid, except for maybe the 50-50 thing.
Yeah.
And they can probably, you know, have some concessions on a lot of different things. So we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Again, just another thing that we've got to think about as we, you know, hurdle towards the football season. But I'm just hoping that, you know, look, that they play football, but that they play football for the right reasons, safely,
right.
And in such a way that everybody's kind of, okay, on board with it. You'd hate to have all these divisions going on as they try to start playing games, because then how does it impact
everything? It'll only fracture the whole product again.
It will, and I certainly don't want to do that. You know, I just made my last payment for my season tickets. I've got all my money now. I'm hoping I'm either going to get some of it back if I don't get to go to some games. I've got a tailgate pass in there, and I don't think we're tailgating, so we'll, you know...
Have some more money for Christmas. That's what she looks like. You're going to have some more money on returns.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a lot more to happen, so we'll keep track of it.
Thanks, Jay. Good show. Thank you, JB, for listening.
Hopefully we'll be back here tomorrow.
Right here on 1030 The Voice.